Okay, Shimon, go ahead. Vayesor et Rechbo. Yeah.
So, when harvest is chariot and it took like the next season, he took 600 select chariots.
Right.
And all the chariots he took, and he took like
whatever was left, I guess, right?
Yeah, and he took like a chain.
Well, v'shalishim al kula. What are shalishim? Uncle says giborin, right? You know, it wasn't like that. These were like these were elite soldiers that were in charge, right? V'shalishim al giborim. Right, biyad raman. I think we already talked about how, you know, that's interpreted differently by different, you know, rishonim. In terms of Ubnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah, is that a reflection of, you know, maybe some arrogance? Yadenu Rama V'lo Hashem Pa'al Kozos, that was a Sforno, Gedula Gedola Meforsemes, etc. Remember, according to the Ramban, that's how Paro understood that the Jewish people were not meaning to come back. Okay, so we've established the point. Go ahead. Vayudifu Mitzrayim Achrayhem. So Ufaro hikriv. The question is, what's a direct object? Uparo, literally hikriv, it means that he brought something. So if you take a look at the Ibn Ezra, Ha'aruch, Uparo hikriv, the Ibn Ezra says, Machaneu, right? That Paro was, you know, sort of bringing along his camp, his people. But Rashi says, Ufaro hikriv, go ahead, David. Hayol lichtov ufaro karav mau hikriv.
Hikriv atzmo v'nis amitz lekodem.
Lekadim lifnehem. Kimo hisne imahem. So instead of saying like the Ibn Ezra that Paro brought the Egyptian people, who was Paro bringing here according to Rashi?
Himself.
Because remember we saw that previous Rashi etam which established that Paro had to overcome the hesitation of the Egyptians. The Egyptians were deeply hesitant about heading towards Yam Suf. And what did he basically say?
That he'd go first.
Exactly right. So here Paro is, you can say a lot of things about Paro, right? But the fact is that Paro was the one who was actually putting himself in front of the Egyptian nation. Okay? So Ufaro hikriv. Vayisu v'nei Yisrael seinehem. Go ahead, Shimon. Right. So he named Mitzrayim Nosei Achrayim. Lashon Yachid or Lashon Rabin? Yachid. Rashi says famously, Kilev Echad, Belev Echad, Ki'ish Echad. Right? It was like they were one person because they were unified in chasing the Jewish people. Nachi, when's the only other time we have that language in Rashi? What's that? Well, right. In Mamad Harsina, the Pasuk says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har, Ki'ish Echad, Belev Echad. So it's a slight nuance. There it's Ki'ish Echad, Belev Echad. Here it's Shimshi. Right. And I'm not entirely certain what to make of that difference, but I can say the following. What's the fundamental difference between the two kinds of unity? Here it's Hinei Mitzrayim Nosei Achrayhem, Belev Echad, Ki'ish Echad. There it's Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har, Ki'ish Echad, Belev Echad. Hanan, what's the difference? I think there's a fundamental difference between the unity of the Jewish people at Maimad Har Sinai and the unity of the Egyptians here. Chanan, what would you say?
Their intentions, even though they're the same, or they all unite, like all their intentions are the same. One is for a bad purpose.
Okay, so you could say, you know, one is nefarious, one is laudatory. Sorry, what were you going to say? Yeah, so I think that's right. I mean, I think that's the best way to say it, that, you know, the Egyptian unity wasn't real unity. It was just they had a common enemy. You know, let's say they had killed all the Jews. Would they have anything in common after that? Well, what about the Jews? What was their unity born of? Jack? A shared destiny. From this point on, they'll always have that same destiny. So here, that you can't really compare, right? Unity based on having a common enemy is not real unity. It's just sort of overlapping purposes. It's completely transactional. It's contingent on them chasing the Jews. But, you know, when it comes to Maimed Har Sinai, Ki Yishe Echad B'Lev Echad, it's a unity that reflects a shared sense of historical destiny. Okay. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael Hashem, the Jewish people pray. Rashi sees this in positive terms, to be honest, and he says, Tafsu umnus avosam, that they started acting, you know, like their ancestors. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were all people who davened. You guys learned that with Rabbi Adler, I'm sure, right? Elam HaKom Asher Amad Sham, Avram in Amida L'Tfila, Ve'etze Yitzchak L'Suach Basa, Delitnos Arev, in Sicha L'Tfila, Yaakov, Avinu Vayivka B'Makom. So here, the Jewish people turn towards Tfila, or so it would seem. Okay, Shem would go ahead. Vayomru al Moshe. Now it's like a completely, it's like a personality split. The Ramban will pick up on this. Now, instead of like davening and being filled with faith that God is somehow going to help them, what do we have instead? What's that? Yeah, rage, anger at Moshe, doubt. Okay, you know, and as you're Eitan, you're absolutely right. There's something very sardonic about this. What, there aren't any, you know, cemeteries in Egypt that you had to bring us out here, you know, that we're going to die in the desert. Hello, Zeha Davar. Right, and they say this is what we were telling you the whole time. We're not going to get into when they actually said this. That's a little bit of a technical point. But we'd rather do what? What's Benny, what they're saying? We would have rather been than to die this, you know, grisly death that we're about to die in the desert. So Moshe's response is the following. Vayomer Moshe Ha'am. Right, so Moshe has this multifaceted response, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, especially according to the Ramban. But what's the gist of Moshe's response? This panicking is out of order because Hashem is going to save you. Okay, Hashem yilachem lachem, v'atem tachrishun, you'll be silenced. And we'll get into this tomorrow. Ki asher re'isem es Mitzrayim hayom, lo sosifu lirosam odol adulam. Aiden, what's the simple pshat there? We're going to get into the halachic implications of this. But again, what's the simple pshat? There's a simple pshat. What does it mean? Ki asher re'isem es Mitzrayim hayom, lo sosifu lirosam odol adulam. There's a straightforward pshat. Avi?
It's not coming
back. Why? What? They're all going to die. They're going to be drowned. Ki asher ve'isem es Mitzrayim hayom lo sosif in the rosam od olam. They're going to die. They're going to die in the
Yamsuf.
Right, in the Yamsuf, and you're not going to have to deal with them again. So the Jewish people were panicked, right? Very clearly panicked. And, you know, the response is, don't be so panicked. But the question is, why were they so panicked? So they were millions of people, and how many Egyptians were there? Well, there were 600 elite chariots, there were some other chariots, the Chorech of Mitzrayim. There were elite soldiers, but who had the massive numerical advantage? Right. So again, the Sforno had previously said that, look, if the Jewish people think that because they have a numerical advantage that that's going to help them, that just tells you how inexperienced they are in the arts of war. But for a different point of view, let's take a look over at the Ibn Ezra Ha'aruch, Hisyatzvu U'as Yisuas Hashem, and then Asher Yaseh Lachem Hayom. So let's take a look at that. Shimshi, why don't you read that Ibn Ezra for us? This is Pasuk Yud Gimel.
Because you guys won't have to fight war, only Hashem will do it for you. Yesh Kfa, you could be surprised. If Yar Nachan Agadol shall chase me out Elef Ish, may have worked in Macharayam. So how could this big camp of 600,000 men be scared of some people chasing them? And why wouldn't they fight for their lives and their children? Tshuva, ki hamisriyam hayu adorem Yisrael. Zeh hador hayotem Yisrael, laban minu rab, mispo om Yisrael v'nashor shvela. Ve'ich yachol atal.
Ve'ich yuchal.
Ve'ich yuchal atal v'achlev im adonav. So, because this generation had been serving Mitzrayim, they learned to bear their burdens, and they were like they were oppressed, they were tired. And so how could they then fight with the master? So how you scroll near pin the inamulubadimuhama. They were just healing and they weren't learned in the art of war.
Now again, he's not talking about just, you know, sort of lacking tactical knowledge, but what's he really getting at, Shimshi?
They were physically exhausted.
Right, there's that too, v'nafsho shveil, but more than that, there's something beyond the physical component to this.
They couldn't, like, psychologically fight their
They're
master.
Psychologically debilitated by the slavery, right? They just have no ability to truly fight, right, against the Egyptians, because when they see an Egyptian, you know, they're traumatized,
yeah.
Okay? Right, it's amazing that that battle was even close.
Right.
You know, Amalek came with a little band of people to skirmish, and it was like the Jews didn't know what to do with themselves. Basically just an idiom saying God, who's in control of the universe. Sibeb Shemesu.
So this is why Hashem had to make sure that all of the people who served in Mitzrayim,
they died in the desert.
They wouldn't have to fight economically if they couldn't.
Right, Shelo Ra'u Galus, this next generation, V'haisalaham Nefesh Givoa, as opposed to Nefesh Shefala, they weren't traumatized. So the Ibn Ezra is saying something pretty radical here. He's saying that this generation was, in many ways, Ezra, in terms of their ability to ever fight, whether it was against the Mitzrim, Amalek, Canaan, what's he really saying? It was dead on arrival. There was never really going to be a chance for this generation. You can talk about the Cheda Egal, you can talk about the Cheda Meraglim, but the bottom line is that this generation, according to the Ibn Ezra, was never going to be able to get into Israel. They just weren't going to be able to do it. Now, again, you're going to say, well, what are you going to do with the Pshat in the Torah? Right? The Cheda Egal, the Cheda Meraglim. Who can think of an answer on behalf of the Ibn Ezra? Because it sounds like, oh, well, the reason they can't go into Israel is because of these sins. Who can sort of figure this out? Avi? Say better. Say better.
They wouldn't have done those sins and Hashem would have won the wars for them.
Say better, Jack?
They couldn't go by themselves. They need Hashem to do it for them.
He's got it? Nachi? The reason that they got into those... Ezra?
The reason that they did those sins is...
Smat. The reason that they had those sins, those were sins that were symptoms of panicking. Moshe was a few hours late. They start panicking. The Meraglim come back and say, oh, they're going to eat us alive. We're like grasshoppers, you know, v'chena yirubei ne'em. You know, eretz ochalas yishrei. What do they start doing? Quaking, shaking. In other words, those sins are symptomatic of what the Ibn Ezra is describing. So Ibn Ezra says, you know, It was just an insurmountable obstacle to take people who were psychologically so damaged and to get them into the land of Israel. Very fascinating perspective. Okay, now let's get to the Ramban. So the Ramban put his finger on this issue that it seems like there's this very strange shift in the text, right? Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael al Hashem sounds like they were davening. The next pasuk sounds like they're infuriated at Moshe / panicking, right? Hamibliyin kvarim emitzrayim lekachtanu lamosh bamidbar. Halo zeh hadavar asher dibarnu ilecha mitzrayim limor chadal mimenu liva silon v'na'avda es mitzrayim, right? And let us, you know, serve Egypt. Ki asher re'isem es mitzrayim ayom chadal mimenu v'na'avda es mitzrayim. Right, because that obviously would have been much better for us. So let's take a look at the Ramban, who, again, working off of Chazal here, has a very, very important contribution. Okay, Nachi, go ahead. This is the Ramban. Vayiru ma'od vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael Hashem vayomro Moshe hamibli en kivarim b'mitzrayim. Just from the top down. Einenu nira. It can't be that the same people about whom it said "Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael Hashem" in the next pasuk were the same ones that said "Hamibliin kivarim b'mitzrayim yivatu b'yeshua asher asalhem v'yomru kitov lahem shelo hitzilam." It can't be that these are the same people. Aval hanachon, what must be the case? Kitot. What does kitot mean? Yeah, exactly right. You remember that famous Yerushalmi, that Arba Kisos Nasu Al Hayam, that there were four different groups. V'akosu v'sapra kol masha asu kulam, right? What each one did. Amar ki akasa achas tzoekas al Hashem. One group prayed. V'achas b'nevio. One of them attacked Moshe, right? Mazos asi salanu. V'yomru, and they said, V'alzos kasov v'yamru, that's about this group, right? The rebellious one, it says, right, that they were rebellious at Yamsuf. V'lekach yachzir akasov v'nei Yisrael p'am acheres, v'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael. The term that's used is not ha'am, but b'nei Yisrael al-Shem. Ki atovim b'hem tzaku al-Shem. V'anisharim, the rest of them, maru b'dvaro. They rebelled. Well, the kach amar achar kach, when the, you know, Kriyas Yamsuf was actually happening, we'll get there pretty soon, says, v'yir'u ha'am, not b'nei Yisrael, es Hashem, v'yaminu b'Hashem moshavdo. Lo amar v'yir'u Yisrael es Hashem, aval amar ha'am. B'nei Yisrael shem li'yachidim. B'nei Yisrael is a term for the few individuals. That's what it says here, v'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. It was just one of the groups, a fraction of the people that kept their faith and prayed to God to continue to save them. But later on it would say, Vayaminu Vayar Yisrael Sadek Vilashar Sasam Mishayim Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem, right? It was the entire people at Kriyas Yamsuf. Vayaminu B'Hashem Moshev Do. B'nei Yisrael Shem Li'achidim, very important line, underline it. V'Ha'am Shem Lehamon. B'nei Yisrael is for the rarefied individuals, the kat that remained faithful, and the am is the masses. Okay, very good. Yeah, so let's skip ahead a little bit. It can't be that these are the same people, that the Torah must be describing different groups. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, those are the singular individuals. And then when it says, you know, Hamibliin kvarim b'mitzrayim, that's an entirely different group of people. Those are the masses who are just, at this point, completely... When the masses are at Kriyas Yamsuf, the masses come around, right? Who can explain to Shimon? You with us? Okay. Yeah, and B'nai Yisrael, those are the Yechidim. Okay, so now, if you go to Kofai and Bet just for a second, the Ramban raises another suggestion that I thought was really interesting and worth thinking about a little bit. Last point I want to cover. So, V'ef Shar'o, two lines from the top of the Ramban. Av, you want to read? Go ahead. Sometimes, but the Ramban is suggesting here that the way to read it is B'nai Yisrael or the Yechidim. I admit that some people look at that, at these expressions sometimes a little bit differently. Okay, so Katie, go ahead. V'ef Shar'o Lomar.
So this is a new suggestion. So then the Ramban says, okay, well maybe we can look at this a little bit differently. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael al Hashem, that was genuine. They were really filled with belief in God, but who did they not trust? Who did they attack? And it could be the same people.
Moshe. Now, what was their concern about Moshe? They knew that God was on their side, but what was Moshe suspected of in their minds? Right, and looking to become what? Like a king over them. So when they said to Moshe, Hamiblien kivarim b'mitzrayim lekachtanu lamos b'amidbar, it wasn't an attack on God, but it was an attack on
Moshe.
Now, you know, Sariel, why do you think this... I mean, I like this, Ramban. I think it's a fascinating idea. So he's saying, you don't have to say it was different people, but it's the same people. They really believe in God, but they're mistrustful of Moshe, right? So who can tell me, why would this make sense based on their past? That, oh, this guy Moshe, now he's going to try to rule over us. What does that say? Yeah, Sariel, go ahead.
The whole history of slavery is just they said they'd give him some things, and then they used them.
Beautifully done. They're all their whole concept of a leader is somebody who's a despot, who's a tyrant, right? Who's just looking out for themselves. So they don't really have a sense yet that there could be an altruistic leader, a leader that's benign, a leader that's benevolent, a leader that's doing things in their interest, right? So there's this deep skepticism. The Ramban says. That what, is this guy really, you know, out for us, or is he out for himself? And what's really interesting about that, and here I want to just draw a little bit on the Ibn Ezra, because right, the Ibn Ezra was saying before, this generation would have never been able to fight. They're just traumatized. Now, if you think about it, who can apply the same concept in the Ibn Ezra to this idea in the Ramban? If you think about how things unfold in the desert, what does end up kind of happening in terms of the Jewish people's relationship with Moshe?
It ends up changing and they end up actually trusting him.
I think that one moment where they trust him is Kriyas Yamsev, David?
The Chetai girl, where they didn't believe that Moshe came down.
Okay, that Moshe had abandoned them somehow. But even more...
Every single time that they complained, they always complained to Moshe.
Exactly, they feel like Moshe's... You know, I don't want to be crass about it, that Moshe's, you know, basically leading them to disaster. You know, and not only that, but once you get to Korach, right, well, they basically accuse him of arrogating power to himself. And everybody eventually gets involved. It's not just Korach and a few people, right? It starts out that way, but it spreads the entire camp. So this kernel of doubt actually never really goes away. That suspicion never really... goes away. So again, the Ramban has two fundamental suggestions about how to read the Pesukim. One of them is the tradition of Chazal. We're just dealing with different groups. Bnei Yisrael, those are the Yechidim, they're keeping the faith, and the masses of the Jewish people are just panicked, okay? They're panicked, and their idea is this was a terrible mistake to go out of Egypt. You know, Hamiblien, Kivarim, and Mitzrayim. The second explanation is, no, we're dealing with the same people. These people believe in God. Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael Hashem. Who don't they believe in, Shimon? Moshe. And their idea is this guy is out for himself. Right? Mazos Asisa, what did you do to us? And he says, okay, well, God brought the plagues against the Egyptians because they were wicked. They deserved it. But who knows? Maybe it was Moshe's idea to take us out. Because if God, you know, wanted us to leave, why would the Egyptians be chasing after us? Okay, let me just quickly summarize and distill what we saw today, and then we'll take all the questions. So again, we started out with the idea of Uparo Hikriv. According to Ibn Ezra, he just brought the Egyptians nothing to see here. According to Rashi, who was he Makriv? Himself. It was like he basically was prepared to, you know, sacrifice his own life at the front of the Egyptian camp, right? Hikriv es Atzmo. Okay, the Jewish people look and they see Mitzrayim, Lashon Yachid, chasing after them. Rashi says, "Belev echad ki ish echad," reminiscent of Maimon Har Sinai when it says, "Ki ish echad belev echad." I suggest that they're really different, right? Because "Ki ish echad belev echad" is fundamental unity, a shared mission, whereas here it's just a matter of having a common enemy. Okay. Vayitzaku bnei Yisrael al Hashem. Rashi says, "Tafsu umnu savosam." They daven sincerely. And the Ramban wondered, you know, who's davening and who's complaining? Two different approaches. in the Ramban, either it's really different groups of people, or, no, the Jews trusted God, but they didn't really trust Moshe. Now, the Ibn Ezra has a very important idea. He says, you know, the Jewish people had such a numerical advantage, you know, why are they so terrified? Vayiru ma'od, what's this terror all about? And in a word, he says, it's trauma. You know, these people who were so badly traumatized by slavery in Egypt will never be able to forget the Egyptians. And forget about the Egyptians, they'll never be able to really fight anybody. And God always knew that it was going to be another generation that's going to get to the desert. I asked the question, so then why is it pinned on the Cheda Egel and the Cheda Meraglim, etc.? And what I tried to argue, right, and this is what Ezra was saying, is that the only reason those sins happened was because of the Ibn Ezra's comment, that psychologically they were so damaged that anything that would cause them to panic did cause them to panic. Moshe's late by a few hours, you know, they miscount. The spies come back and say, "Eretz Ochelas Yoshevahi," and they just break down. So, you know, that was the fundamental problem. It was a deficiency of faith. Okay, so that's basically what we saw today. Let's pause right here. Let's get all the questions in. Tomorrow we're going to deal with the issue of Ki Asher Reisa Mitzrayim Ayom Lo Sifun Lo Sosifun Nirosam Od Ad Olam.